I've got to mention this. In this very studio in 1952, it was a remote, Miss Shirley Booth received her Oscar right here in our studio. She was appearing in Philadelphia and got it right here in this studio.
I think that's something wrong with
it. I think it's great.
Philadelphia's been lucky for a lot of people.
Yes, it has.
I wouldn't even look at the Benjamin Franklin. Flew a kite, they made a car out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, William Penn standing on top of City Hall. Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah.
Only a guy like William Penn to stand up there for 3 years without making a move. That's remarkable, you know. And the Crash Brothers, oh, their clothes. Forget about it.
I was robbed with that statement.
You're
not going to do that to me, are you?
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
When our next guest was asked how he would type himself as a musician, he answered he was just a singer and a songwriter. But to that, I think I would be appropriate to add talented and creative. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Paxton.
I heard a milkman at my doorstep bustle my neighbor at her tea. In all the world, no one so glad to see the sun as me. Angeline is always Friday, Angeline is spring forever. Winter Angeline could never be. Mr. Wilson, old and smiling, lifts his cap as she is passing, bowing her politely unto me. My week has gone its lonely way. I've waited for my only day away from shadows. In her sunlight, I can tell her I love you. Angeline is always Friday, suitcase on the rack above. She hasn't even read her magazine. Angeline is counting stations till the one where I am standing, waiting for my only Angeline. La 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 la. It's lonely way. I've waited for my only day away from shadows. In her sunlight, I can tell her I love you, Angeline. Clatter the milkman at my doorstep, bustle my neighbor at her. In all the world, no one so glad to see the sun as me.
Thank you.
You just played Fillmore East.
Fillmore East, isn't that wild?
So much about Fillmore East, Fillmore West. It's, what is it? Is it an auditorium or?
Yes, it's an old vaudeville theater on 2nd Avenue in New York. It's quite a large place, about 2,500 seats.
How did it go?
Oh, fantastic. Just fantastic. You know, I got the courage to play the Fillmore, which is basically a rock.
Oh, yes.
Venue. The reception I got at the Isle of Wight last summer, which was a rock and roll festival, and they booked me into it, and it went so well, I began to feel, well, there's a whole audience for me that I didn't know was there.
You know, you not only appeal to young people, but you appeal to advertisers, too. How many songs have you written for commercials?
Well, My Dog's Bigger Than Your Dog was originally...
That's, he wrote
it's,
that.
It's a song...
Just a couple.
My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. My dog's bigger and he chases mailmen. My dog's bigger than yours. My dad's tougher than your dad. My dad's tougher than yours. My dad's tougher and he can yell louder. My dad's tougher than yours. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. I can tie my shoes. I have been to the country and I am going to school.
Things are really beginning to happen for you, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, speaking of commercials, the one I'm proudest of was something I want to get around to a little bit later. But since we're talking about commercials, I wrote a song about 3 years ago for anti-pollution commercial that is still running, as a matter of fact. And I was very happy to do that one.
It's a very big problem, isn't it? And I think everyone tends to take it rather lightly, but things, if you continue to read what they're writing about this, it is a very serious problem, and it's all over the world.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I want to get back to that a little later, but...
What do you think is making it begin to happen for you? Because you didn't start yesterday at this.
You know what, Mike? I think a lot of it, just a lot of it has to do with me. The fact that I've been doing this now for 10 years, which is not a terribly long time, and yet 10 years, I think it takes 10 years for a musician, an artist, really, to begin to put it together. It seems, you know, 6 months after you start, it seems to you as if you're ready to go, right? I know it now, and I can sing, and I can do this, but it really takes... takes 10 years
that's
before things.
With all the young fellas, they get a hit record right off the bat, and they can't follow it.
They're in trouble. Right.
They're in trouble. They're not performers. Right. See?
Louis, how do you feel about Tom's kind of music?
Yeah, I love what it. I mean, I just told him it sounds great.
You know, he's got kind of beautiful. A slight bossa nova beat in that song you just did. You know, and it's really kind of a modern folk you're doing. You know,
sure. Yeah.
And that's the kind of jazz I like. Soft jazz. I mean, like Louis plays.
Yeah. It sounds good to me. Buddy.
Thank you,
Tom. You're kind of the new breed. What does it feel like to sit next to an institution like Louis Armstrong?
Incredible.
Tell it to
incredible. I don't know what to say. I don't know what
how
to say.
How come you never talk about me?
Well, we always talk about me.
It's amazing the lines I have to screen and say, no, you know, don't say that.
You know, I met John Lennon last summer, and
he's alive and well.
Yeah. No, it's Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney,
right.
I'm thinking of, yes.
I met John, and he's younger than I am. And I didn't know what to say to him.
Did he write Fool on the Hill?
I think probably McCartney.
Because I sang
I think
it, on,
McCartney
the, I sang it on the Smothers Brothers show. That's no kidding. And I didn't want to do it, and they talked me in it, and it was the best results I've ever gotten in a song in my whole life.
Oh,
I guess
a
it was
fabulous
thing.
Song.
They write great
and I showed
song,
you, Mike, even with a fair voice, with proper presentation, introduction, a man can make it.
Do you think any of your songs, the things that you're writing today, will be standards 10 or 20 years from now?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
That's the best thing that can happen to a composer, isn't
sure,
it?
Sure,
it's got a nice style. You know, you're
standards.
Easy on the ear. I like that kind of folk.
And a good sound.
You know, there's one thing I can't stand, Mike, is phony folk singers.
What's
there
a phony
are a lot of phony.
Singer?
They just sing about things they don't know what it's all about. The good earth. They've never been on the good earth. I've seen a lot of them. I can tell a phony performer when I see one. There are a lot of phony folk singers.
Oh, but
kidding.
I don't think you have to have done something to sing about it and mean it. I just
well,
think,
no,
you know...
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion, which is generally accepted. No.
but your tone.
Yeah, you got a great sound.
Yeah. Sound. That's,
thank you.
That's what you go.
How come you accept everything he says and everything I say? Goes
I'm a musician.
I'm playing about you, man, and that's not very difficult for me to do. You know. I may break your strings.
You said you were going to a little earlier. You said you were going to do a song about pollution. Is that the one you?
Yeah,
gonna,
they
you
had
have a personal feeling about this thing.
I think here finally is an issue which no one can ignore. I mean, it affects all of us.
All of us. All over the
hawks
world.
And doves, we're all in trouble.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
We're all in trouble with the environment. We've been shoving it to the back of our minds for too long, and now it's catching up with us.
You performed at the first ecology teach-in, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was at...
What was it like?
Well, it was frightening. You know who you have to have on here? You have to have Dr. Paul Ehrlich, who wrote a book called The Population Bomb, And he's got another book coming out. This man has the facts at his fingertips, and
I know who you're speaking
of. He'll scare the dickens out of you.
Well, I think industry is stopping it from becoming the real thing. It's a question of establishment again, you know, holding off a lot of things that could kill us, and they're doing very well. First, they built the automobile, which gives us the gas, and then they run us over, so they got us going and coming. I'll be very honest. Did you say you taught school?
No, I went to a teach-in.
He went to where was this held?
At Northwestern University.
That's my alma mater, by the way.
You went to Northwestern?
Yes, I did. 2 months out of one semester.
No, he went on an athletic scholarship. He did.
That's very true. Matter of fact, I'm on
the alma mater. What was
your sport? He used to be a swimmer.
I was a swimmer.
And then when he dove in? No,
I'm not going to get involved in that much.
I still like your singing.
Good swimmer. Will you sing again after the next commercial?
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back, folks. If we got a commercial.
Young David Burns, though.
Comedian. Very fine actor.
What inspired the song you sang about the little girl?
You know what inspired it? I wrote that song with Bruce Woodley, who used to be in The Seekers, the Australian group. They had the hit of Georgia Girl. What inspired it basically was that Bruce had a melody and said, come up with some words for this. And those are the words that popped up.
Every time I hear somebody say something like that, a thought occurs to me that I knew a boy who was the son of Gus Kahn, and he said that George Gershwin used to play the melody Liza every time he'd see Gus Kahn, and Gus Kahn would say, forget it. And finally, as a surprise to Gershwin, one time he wrote the lyric, Liza, and when Gershwin played it, he sang it to him, you know. But what is it harder that way? Would you rather have the lyric first and then have someone put a melody to it?
Well, always, most of the songs I've written words and music, and I would always write the words first.
The words first.
The one exception being the one hit that I had, Bottle of Wine. I had the melody for that first. But now, recently, I've begun writing songs with my piano player, David Horowitz, and he comes up with melodies, and then I set words to them. And the melody kind of defines what the lyric is going to have to be. I mean, if it's a very somber melody, you're not going to write Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
That's right.
It won't fit, you know. So it's kind of, songwriting really is kind of an elevated form of doing crossword puzzles. It's a problem to be solved, and it's very engrossing, and it's very satisfying. You know?
Can you always, if a melody comes to you and you're driving in your car, and you know, a paper, a manuscript handy, can you remember it always, note for note?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you stop the car?
If I've got something strong going, and those are the only ones worth messing around with, really, really click for you, it'll still be there when you get where you're going.
Yeah, we mentioned that you were at this teach-in, and I think it's the first time this song was performed.
No, I wrote it really to sing there.
Okay, would you do it for
sure.
us? Sure. Tom Paxton.
Must have been lovely. Did it have flowers? I've seen pictures of flowers, and I'd love to have smelled one. Whose river was this? You say it ran freely. Blue was its color. I've seen blue in some pictures, and I'd love to have been there. Ah, tell me again, I need to know. The forests had trees, the meadows were green, the oceans were blue, and birds really flew. Can you swear that was true? Whose gray sky was this? Or was it a blue one? Nights there were breezes. I've heard records of breezes. And you tell me you felt one. Ah, tell me again, I need to know. The forest had trees. The meadows were green. The oceans were blue. And birds really flew. Can you swear that was true? Whose garden was this? It must have been lovely. Did it have flowers? I've seen pictures of flowers, and I'd love to have smelled one.
Tom
Tom, that was a beautiful song, and thank you so much for being with us again.
Always a pleasure.
I enjoy working with you. I may use you on some of my college dates.
Great.
Jackie, where are you going from here?
I'm going to be at the Riviera June the 8th, and I know you follow me in out there.
I'll be in July, July 15th.
Las Vegas, and I want to wish you all the success that I richly deserve.
Are you going to be at my opening?
I hope so. If I can possibly not avoid it, I will try to. And thank you, Louie, for appearing with me today.
Louie, maybe tomorrow. I think tomorrow we're going to try to get your wife, Lucille, to cook some ham hocks and beans.
Oh, that's good.
I can't wait.
And then we'll fattening.
No, once, and that's soul food. You got to
once a week.
Once a week, you can have
that. Gefilte fish, that's soul food.
That's all right.
I'd also
but
like
once
to
a week, it ain't much.
It ain't, huh?
It's kind of a special day, too. I want to thank Miss Shirley Booth for being with us.
I want to thank you for being with me, too, today. Mike, you've done a magnificent job. Your clothes are not too good, but after all, you are sincere in your work.
You picked them out, Jack. Louie will be here tomorrow.
I want
and the
to
rest
thank
of
the audience
we
for
hope
being
you
very
are
brilliant
too.
Today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Automobiles and other considerations provided by Chevrolet, featuring the Caprice Sedan. Get on the move with the luxury one from the Chevrolet 70s, Caprice. Guests of the Mike Douglas Show stay at Philadelphia's Warwick Hotel. Yeah.
my
New York City?
My speech habits aren't understood too well in New York. Remember once I was doing an interview with the late Tallulah Bankhead, and she had this deep, down-the-basement voice, and I says, Tallulah, were you ever mistaken for a man on the telephone? And her answer was, no, were you?
She was famous for answers like that, wasn't she?
Then this, my first name caused a lot of trouble, New Yorkers, the Earl, they don't understand that. I have to say Oil Wilson, and especially the Brooklyn segment, and they all get that.
Oil Wilson?
Oil Wilson. Well, they don't understand Earl. Now, there's a true story. A reporter from Brooklyn called up one time to tell me about a, well, what do you call it, an Earl explosion. He said the blazing Earl was running the streets. He wished I could be out there to see this Earl disaster, and the loss in Earl was in hundreds of thousands of dollars. He finished his story and said, well, goodbye, Oil, and hung up.
How did you ever get, where did that, that's Earl, brother, at the end of the column?
Who's some there? Press agent sent it in, and Mike, I don't remember who it was. They made up a lot of puns in those days. Midnight Earl, and that's Oil, brother, that's Earl, brother, and so on. And the old Oil, that was one of the nicknames for me.
Well, that's Earl, brother, for us, because we're out of time. I want to thank Earl Wilson, Cesar Romero, Lucille Armstrong, and my friend Louis Armstrong, who will be back tomorrow and the rest of the week, and we sure hope you are, too. Bye-bye.
Automobiles and other considerations provided by Chevrolet, featuring the Monte Carlo, a totally new sporty luxury car. Get on the move with the new one of the Chevrolet 70s, Monte Carlo. Guests of the Mike Douglas Show stay at Philadelphia's Warwick Hotel. Thank you.